Hello, Sartell St. Stephen community. This is Mike Rivard, your superintendent, and I'm excited to welcome you to another episode of Saber Speaks podcast. Today, I'll be sharing not only important updates about our district, but also some personal insights from my own journey to becoming superintendent here in Sartell St. Stephen. Having served in education for over 25 years and living in this incredible community for more than two decades, I feel deeply connected to the growth and success of our schools. As a parent of two children who graduated from Sartell High School, I've seen firsthand the exceptional support and the dedication of this district and what we have to offer. But today, in this episode, we'll be answering questions about academic performance and how we've been working together to ensure all of our students thrive. Whether you're a parent, a student, or a community member, I hope this conversation gives you a deeper understanding of the work that we're doing in the Sartell St. Stephen School District. Joining me today are two of our district leaders who play a vital role in shaping the success of our students. Dr. Megan Rugholt, our district's Director of Learning and Teaching, is responsible for overseeing curriculum development and instructional strategies that support student achievement across all grade levels. She has been instrumental in implementing innovative teaching practices, ensuring that our staff are equipped with the tools they need to help our students thrive. Welcome, Megan.
Well, hi. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. We are also joined today by Marie Pangrel, our district assessment coordinator, who ensures that we're effectively measuring and tracking student progress through data and assessments. Marie works closely with us educators to interpret these results and to apply them to our academic strategies, keeping all of us informed to make sure we're improving student performance and our overall district outcomes. So together today, we're going to be discussing key aspects of our district progress. So I welcome Marie today too. Hi, Marie.
Hi, Saber Nation. Thanks for listening in today with us. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So I'm going to start off with some questions. And our first question is related to the North Star Accountability Testing System and how it aligns with the goals of the Sartell St. Stephen School District. Could one of you help explain what the North Star Accountability System is?
Yeah, I'll take that question, Mike. The North Star Excellence and Equity, or it's been dubbed North Star Accountability System, was developed by the Minnesota Department of Education to align and meet requirements of the federal Every Student Succeeds Act, or what we refer to as ESSA, and the state's Comprehensive Achievement and Civic Readiness Plan, which formerly was known as World's Best Workforce. It focuses on supporting districts in meeting locally determined goals. The foundation of North Star's process for identification of schools is a stage-based approach to school accountability that uses multiple measures of evaluation. And there's five areas of measurements, which include academic achievement, academic progress, English language proficiency, consistent attendance, and graduation.
So Marie, part of your role is making sure we bring all that data together and we help our educators in making decisions on instructional strategies.
That's correct.
Awesome. My next question is, I'm very curious now, is what is the Sartell St. Stephen's Comprehensive Achievement and Civic Readiness Plan, that old World's Best Workforce that we used to call it? And how does it, in our broader goals of state and federal education requirements, how does it interrelate? I'm not sure, Megan, would that be something you could help us with?
Yeah, certainly. So like Marie mentioned, it's now called that, it's no longer World's Best Workforce. It's called the Comprehensive Achievement and Civic Readiness Plan as of this year. And it is a strategic plan that every district is required to create. It's comprised of four goals now. It used to be five goals. The first goal is that all students are ready for kindergarten. The second goal is that all achievement gaps between students are closed. All students are ready for college and career, and all students graduate from high school. Now, prior to this year, there was a goal that all students should be able to read by the end of third grade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now that goal is no longer part of this plan, but it is part of every district's local literacy plan, which is now called the READ Act Literacy Plan. So both of these plans, both the Civic Comprehensive Achievement and Civic Readiness Plan and our local literacy plan, they all contain state, national, and local goals. But what I think we're probably hearing the most about right now is that science of reading, which is connected to our READ Act literacy plan. And that's where we heard a lot about that read well by third grade. And so that's where that goal is connected. But I'm pretty sure we're going to talk more about that a little bit later.
We are. I have a lot of questions about the science of reading. I know we've talked about it a little bit last year, too, but I think it's great that our audience has an opportunity to hear even more. I know one of the things we often talk about over the last 20 years is the Minnesota Comprehensive Assessments. And the Sartell-St. Stephen School District has a reputation for excellence, especially when it comes to how we do on our MCAs. How do Sartell-St. Stephen's MCA scores compare to the state averages? And what strategies are in place to improve those academic progress and outcomes even as we move forward? Marie or Megan?
I think I'll take the first part of that question, and then Megan can take the second part. But yes, you're absolutely correct. We do have a history of outstanding performance on the state MCAs. So this past year, our district's overall percent proficient in math, reading, and science was well above the state average. When our district analyzes our MCA data, we typically look at it two different ways. The first way we look at it is we look at the total number of students that were proficient and we divide it by the total number of students tested. The results for those calculations were we had 66% of our students proficient in math, while the state was at 45.5%.
A big difference.
Yes. Sartell had 63.5% proficient in reading, while the state was at 49.9%. Again, a significant difference between us and the state.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had 56.9% proficient in science, while the state had 39.6% proficient. The second way we look at our data is by a calculation that we receive from the state, which is at North Star rating. And this calculation looks at the total number of students that are proficient on the MCA math and reading and divided by the total number of students who met our accountability criteria. And this is where when we look at that denominator, our students who choose to opt out of taking our tests or refuse, or students who are in PSEO and simply just don't come back to take our tests, are included in that denominator. So it does negatively affect our district, and it essentially acts as a non-proficient.
I appreciate you sharing that part, Marie. It helps us have a little bit more of an understanding of how some of those percentages work and some of those other variables that can impact our proficiency percentages. Megan, was there something that you wanted to add related to just the strategies we're doing moving forward to improve outcomes?
Yeah, we always look at assessments and what is the data that we get from assessments and how does that help us improve? So what do we do with that data that helps us? What can we take from that data that helps us improve either our instructional strategies or our student outcomes? So really what the data that we get from MCAs, unfortunately, isn't very timely. So our students test, of course, in the spring, and we don't really get any of that formative assessment information until the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So our students have already graduated into the next grade level, and so unfortunately, the information that we get is a little late to do any significant changes to their instruction for the grade level that they tested in. So what we would hope, or what we encourage our teachers to do, is just to look at that assessment information and think about how they could change their instruction for their next group of kids. So we get a little bit of information about the standard that their students tested in, that maybe the majority of their students did not meet, let's say, the standard, or they scored below the standard or not proficient in the standard. And so we would have teachers reflect on what could they perhaps do different instructionally that could help students in the next round perhaps do better? Or just reflect on that a little bit and think about what, you know, what may be the cause for students not performing at a better level.
So as we think about that, and we're very fortunate in Sartell St. Stephen that as we look across the 331 Minnesota schools, right now Sartell St. Stephen is ranked 18th in reading on our MCA scores and 15th in math, which are just awesome scores of how we're doing across our whole school district, and speaks volumes to not only what we do as instructional staff and all staff here in the schools, but also to what our community does in making sure their involvement with our children's education is happening for them all the time. But I'm curious, what are some key factors that you think lie behind these successes when you look at the 18th and 15th rank across all 331 schools? And are there any areas that we could probably be doing better?
So our teachers have begun the work of intentionally aligning their practice to state standards. They've been working really hard and doing an excellent job with this. We've developed a standards and curriculum alignment process that is very thorough and research-backed, in which we are at different stages at different levels within our system, depending on what you teach and what level you teach at. And we're striving for full alignment across our system and seeing the benefits of our efforts. We're anticipating new math standards coming out in a couple of years, so we'll be repeating this process with our math standards again, and we're going to continue to align our science and our social studies standards and curriculum to ensure that our students experience those successes of an aligned program throughout our schools. So this work is really never done. We're always reflecting on our practice and aligning our standards and ensuring that our curriculum is up to date and aligned.
Important information. I think about the other thing as we look at the whole child and we consider the social and emotional well-being of students, especially in this post-pandemic environment. How is the district trying to balance both academic accountability and ensuring that we socially and emotionally are helping children in their well-being? Marie, any thoughts?
Yeah, I have a couple. So here in our district, we really truly are committed to supporting every student's academic and social emotional growth. The goal is for all students to be equipped with work toward their goals, for them to be able to bounce back from setbacks, for them to be able to manage their emotions and develop positive relationships and make responsible decisions. So to support our students individually as they strive to develop these skills, we need to gather information so that we can personalize the work that we do with each of our kids. So in addition to providing assessment tools for math and reading, FastBridge also provides a SABRES and MySABRES component. SABRES stands for Social, Academic, Emotional, and Behavior Risk Screener, and this risk screener consists of 20 questions. A couple of those questions, for example, are, I get along with my peers. I am respectful. I am ready for class. I have trouble working alone. And the answer options for teachers and students are, they have four choices. So they can choose from never, sometimes, often, or almost always. And so the teachers complete the SABRES screener on students three times a year. They complete it during the fall, winter, and spring benchmarking periods. And then our students answer the same set of 20 questions two times a year. They answer them in fall and winter. And this really gives us a good picture as to how the student's feeling about themselves and how the teacher is feeling about the student. So we can really cross-reference that data because we might miss something as a staff or a teacher. We might feel like that student is completely fine and they're fully engaged, but yet internally they're struggling with something. So it's a way for us to kind of just review that data and see if we kind of are on the same page with our students, and where we're not, we can dig a little bit deeper and have conversations with those kids.
Well, and I remember my children taking the SABRES, and how I think it's just so helpful that we're looking at kids and we're wanting to ensure that they're well-rounded as we move towards graduation. It brings up my other wondering is, the Sartell-St. Stephen School District has an incredibly high graduation rate of 98%, which is just amazing. What specific interventions and supports are in place to help students stay on track and graduate on time?
Well, just a few years ago, we ensured that, we made the commitment really to ensure that our counselors were meeting with our high school students 3 times per year. I know that this was my first year in the district at that time, mm-hmm. so I don't know what specifically what the commitment was before that, but I remember in my first year it was, we are going to commit to, for sure, every student will be met with a counselor 3 times per year. And that is specifically to talk about a multitude of things, but one is to ensure that you are on track with, where you should be as far as high school graduation. And of course, it's tracking your credits earned toward graduation requirements. Our high school counselors are great about making sure that if our students are not on the path or if they're short requirements, that they have an opportunity in the summer to make up anything. I see students making up credits every summer if needed. We're tracking that data constantly. We have saber time at our high school for any remediation or makeup time, but it's not just at our high school. I would say at every school, beginning at Oak Ridge, all the way through, we stress the importance of being in school, and our students know that from the very beginning, that being in school is extremely important, and that it's a safe and important and fun learning environment, and that this is the place where great learning and important learning happens, and they're supported all along the way. So I think at every level, our students know that learning is important to your success, and the staff that we have here in Sartell-St. Stephen are committed to that success.
And Megan, I think you bring up a great point that as we look across graduation rates, oftentimes we think more so about our high school staff. And really it does start as early as preschool in Oak Ridge, but it also starts at Oak Ridge, but it also starts with our parents and our community.
Absolutely.
So what role do you both believe that community partnerships or parental involvement play in supporting our district's academic and civic readiness goals?
Yeah, I think parents and community members are a vital part of our work. First, I want to mention that we do have an advisory committee that meets quarterly. It's one of my favorite meetings, and in talking with Marie, I know that it's one of her favorite meetings too.
It is.
Yeah. It's an opportunity that we have a few times each year when we get together with parents, community members, a few teachers, principals, a couple of students even from our high school to share what's going on in the district, and to get input and advice from this representative group. This group was instrumental last year as we were navigating how to implement new legislation around READ Act in the early release schedule. They offered feedback on how to capture data and what questions to ask, specifically around that early release schedule. And when we implemented a new reading curriculum last year with a small group of teachers at our elementary schools, they asked great questions that made us think about how we would implement differently with a larger group this year. I am so grateful for this supportive and thoughtful group of people. They serve collaboratively with our students and staff's best interests in mind. I just can't thank them enough. I'm really grateful for them.
Well, I know we're kind of bumping up against our time, so I'm going to ask that question we were all curious about related to the science of reading and letters. So, Megan, as the Director of Learning and Teaching, what initiatives can the community expect, and what are you most excited about this year?
Yeah.
And how do we make sure we're aligning these things with the district's academic goals?
Well, so I would say what's not to be excited about, because I get excited about everything teaching and learning related. So I would say letters, of course. So letters is the training program that our district has selected for our teachers for the science of reading training that is state mandated. We had an option of three programs, but our district selected letters, and so that's what our teachers will be trained with our within our early release and professional development time. We've got a lot going on. We've got letters, we've got curriculum standards and alignment, we've got a lot of professional development, we've got an instructional roadmap going on, assessment practices, but really bottom line is there's a lot of things that I'm excited about, and it's when our kids are excited that I'm excited. So I don't know, there's just so much to be excited about. You know, last year we started implementing a new curriculum at our elementary level, and we found that our kids were super, super excited and very invested in this. And we had students that were so invested in their language arts unit that they didn't want to go on their family vacations.
Wow.
For fear of missing out on important learning. And I mean, that's when you know that you're onto something really good, and that you've got all of the right things connected and aligned. And we, of course, assured these students that we would catch them up when they returned, but that's a good problem to have, you know, when you've got the right teachers, you've got the right curriculum, you've got the right standards, and you've got all the professional learning, and you've got it all aligned and working well together, and you've got students that are so excited to be in school to learn all of these great things. You know that you're on the right track. And when you have kids that don't want to miss it, right? Don't want to miss out on the learning.
It's incredible.
It's incredible. Yeah. And we're seeing this more and more, and we just want more of it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it tells you that your work's paying off, and we're seeing this all over the place. And that's why we're here.
Exactly. Well, what a great conversation for my first episode of Saber Speaks. I want to take this opportunity to thank both Megan and Marie, not only for spending time with us today, but for all the work that they do, helping ensure that our students are able to perform at their highest level. I look forward to another podcast of Saber Speaks sometime in the very near future. I hope everyone has a great day.